is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting at all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me, gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and wrong. Here is Steve Gruber.
Hubris, the word of the day, hubris. The hubris of Chuck Schumer and the Democrats is pretty breathtaking, considering the only thing they've had go their way in the last few weeks besides, you know, interfering with President Trump putting together his cabinet. They were also able to get the Republicans to pull their health care plan, so no vote was ever taken. But the president says he expects to make a deal on health care in the fairly near future, despite the failure to get one through here on Friday of last week. He's been getting together with senators from both parties, Democrats, Republicans, coming together. Chuck Schumer, of course, not on board. Because Chuck Schumer's not on board with anything. He opposes everything and anything this president does for the sole sake of opposing, including Neil Gorsuch for being a member of the Supreme Court. And as I told you, and I told you exactly what would happen with Debbie Stabenow, whatever Chuck Schumer does, Debbie Stabenow is right there behind him, and so she has now come out and said she will not vote for Neil Gorsuch. And I said, as soon as she does that, Gary Peters will follow suit, and he has. So there you have it. Both Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters voting against the very qualified Neil Gorsuch. And it doesn't matter who you ask. The man is completely qualified to be a Supreme Court justice, and frankly, the thing that would concern me as a conservative or as if you're a Republican is that Neil Gorsuch has a fairly thin record on the judiciary. His work as a justice, pretty thin over 10 years. I mean, you can't get a lot of inside information, but the Democrats are opposing him anyway. The point that I'm making is that he could end up being somebody that's more to the left than they realize, but they won't even give the man a chance because of, well, leftist neuroses, I believe, quite honestly. So anyhow, they're going to stand in the way and do the best that they can to prevent that from happening. But meanwhile, the president continues with his agenda to roll back regulations, to open up the economy, to put the foot on the gas pedal of the economy, if you will. He's doing that with ending the war on coal, as he put it, declaring yesterday that his administration was going to put coal miners back to work. Signed an executive order rolling back Obama-era energy regulations. We're going to have clean coal, really clean coal, said Trump, flanked by coal miners from West Virginia. I'm taking historic steps to lift the restrictions on American energy, to reserve government intrusion, and to cancel job-killing regulations every single day. He has cameras around him every single day. And the biggest knock they can find on the guy is he goes to Mar-a-Lago to play golf on the weekends and days, but I don't think he's actually playing golf. I think he's down there conducting business, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't remember the left belly aching about Barack Obama taking excursions to Africa with dozens of people in the entourage, dozens of people on the planes, including his wife and children and extended families and their friends. Nobody complained about those. It cost tens of millions of dollars, but the left wants to complain about the president going to his Florida White House, if you will. Trump talking about getting rid of the bad regulations and rolling back the initiative of the Clean Power Plan, which restricts so-called greenhouse gas emissions. That is, if you believe the carbon dioxide is actually a poisonous gas. The regulation formed by one of Barack Obama's signature efforts to curb carbon emissions. And this is the problem. This is the problem with what Barack Obama did in creating his legacy, if you will. He did it with his pen and his cell phone, which is very weak. In fact, it's so weak, it only takes another guy with a pen and a telephone to bring it to an end. This is why we hope that more bills get through Congress that will protect the American economy and help it to grow. Another part of this executive order yesterday, President Trump lifted a 14-month-old moratorium on new coal leases on federal land. Obama put a 3-year moratorium in place. He lifted it. That's over. And so we're moving forward with the economy in that way. Back to this battle over the Supreme Court, as I mentioned, this fight is being led by Chuck Schumer. And this is a guy who's going to stand in opposition to the president no matter what happens. It doesn't matter what Donald Trump puts forward, because here's disingenuous Charles Schumer. He says, I'll work with the president on health care reform as long as they do everything that we want, paraphrasing, of course. But basically, if you do everything we want, Mr. President, we're right here to help. And I saw Democrats on television yesterday saying, in fact, one of the ways we'd like to help is we'd like to reduce the age to be eligible for Medicare to the age of 50. That way we can help struggling seniors. Well, at 50 years of age, are you a senior? Yeah, I didn't think so. Ask Jennifer that the next time she calls us. She thinks she's a senior at age 50. I didn't think so. My point being is that, they're all wanting to help as long as we can create a bigger entitlement program, bigger government, more welfare, more handouts, more saddled on the back of the ever smaller pool of American taxpayers. That's the biggest challenge we face anyhow. So Mitch McConnell says they will get Gorsuch through the U.S. Senate. He said the Senate will confirm Gorsuch on the 7th of April before lawmakers leave town for a 2-week recess. Democratic opposition is growing, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to use the nuclear option. That'll be that. And if they didn't, it wouldn't matter, because the next time the Democrats are in a similar position to the Republicans currently with the majority in the Senate, if they get there again, they would use the same option because they're the ones that did it in the first place. It was the Democrats that did it in the first place to create a lower threshold to have federal judges confirmed. And another battle drawing out with county sheriffs across this country. Let me give you an example. In Massachusetts, Bristol County Sheriff Thomas Hogsden telling the U.S. House Subcommittee on Illegal Immigration that sanctuary cities, quote, have become magnets for illegal aliens, some of which have violent criminal records. And these sanctuary cities are going to harbor and conceal criminal illegal aliens from ICE, which is in direct violation of Title 8 of the U.S. Code. Federal arrest warrants should be issued for their elected officials, said Hodgson. He said the mayors, just like we had a caller yesterday talking about this, those mayors should be arrested. If you try to do it as a governor, you should be arrested for circumventing federal law. He also took aim at a Massachusetts legislator who passed along rumors of a planned ICE raid in Brockton, Massachusetts, Tuesday and Wednesday. It turned out to be completely false. Put law enforcement people at risk. Oh, there are big fights coming. We'll do it here together on The Steve Gruber Show. It's 14 after.
The Steve Gruber Show. American values with Midwestern common sense. Sometimes I'm right.
All right, welcome back. For a lot of you that have been longtime listeners, you know that I spent a period of years, working for NBC News as a reporter. As part of my backstory here, I was a reporter for NBC News on television for a number of years. And as a result, I became pretty well acquainted with the culture, if you will, and how far left of center that culture truly is. And furthermore, what you would be held accountable for and what was allowed to slide through. Well, this notion of an unbiased mainstream media is, it's just frankly silly at this point. And I can tell you from the time that I left the daily newsroom meetings about 16 years ago now, about 2000, 2001, that the world has shifted so much farther to the left, it's almost unrecognizable the way it is now. My next guest, Katrina Trinko, managing editor of the Daily Signal and member of USA Today's Board of Contributors. Katrina, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm glad to have you here because this is a conversation that, you know, I look at some of the things that are said on the media today. And during the period that I worked for NBC News, when you take the job with NBC, you sign a form that's about 3 inches thick, honestly, the handbook, if you will. And the things that people get away with on that network and others today, you would be terminated for immediately, be it bias, comments, commentary, things of that nature. And sometimes, you know, when they call people from the Tea Party teabaggers, I mean, that sort of stuff would get you thrown off the air, and rightfully so. But those days are gone because many of these organizations are just openly biased, it seems to me. Am I right or wrong about the change in the last 15 years?
Well, I think there's certainly some open bias. I mean, I quoted in my piece that CBS's news anchor, Scott Pelley, I think I'm pronouncing that right.
He's openly hostile. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the quotes that just really got me that he said on air was, "The president's real troubles today were not with the media, but with the facts."
Yeah, or his tenuous relationship with telling the truth. Things like that have come out of Scott Pelley's mouth for weeks.
It's like, you're supposed to be this unbiased anchor. What?
Yeah, I mean, Walter Cronkite was left of center, I think it's fair to say, based on everything I've read about. But you wouldn't get that from watching Walter Cronkite do the CBS Evening News. It was a different world then. But why do we allow this to happen then? Why do news managers and so forth, news directors and VPs of news, allow this to go on?
Well, I think one of the biggest problems is there truly is so many liberals in the media industry right now that I think they're unaware of how extreme some of this stuff is. So if all you do is talk to liberals and hang out with liberals and work with liberals, you may not realize how outrageous it is to say something, you know, like the president has a problem with facts, not the media, when nothing like that was ever said about Obama.
Absolutely true. I think that Bernie Goldberg wrote a book several years ago called Bias. And I think what you just said echoes part of that theme of that book, which is, some of these folks are so far left, and they only associate with people from the left, and they think left, and they think that it's normal mainstream thinking, when really it's nowhere in tune with places like Pennsylvania or Wisconsin or Michigan, which shocked them on election day.
Absolutely, and I think the sad thing here is you would think the media realized when Trump won, like, oh, maybe we need to reexamine some stuff. Maybe we haven't really been representing all points of view. Maybe, you know, there's all these Americans out there who supported Trump. Maybe we could learn. And unfortunately, it seems like instead of learning, they're just doubling down.
Yeah, they're not learning at all. In fact, they're going at it even more. In fact, some of them have said openly, you know, we don't have the luxury of being unbiased and covering Donald Trump. And I mean, that is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard. Now, again, everybody comes with baggage, Katrina. Everybody has a history, a story that they bring to the newsroom every day with some, you know, preconceived notions about things. But I still knew good reporters, really good reporters, that were left of center that still gave it straight to the viewers. And I was, you know, I'm right of center. I'm a commentator now. But I gave it to the viewers straight and let them decide. It wasn't up to me to spin it. It wasn't. These stories all come with qualifiers and adjectives tacked on the front of them that, you know, give a certain connotation day in and day out.
Right, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's, again, really frustrating is I think there's a case to be made that we need a very robust, objective media in this country. But where was all this enthusiasm when Obama was in office?
Vacant. it was not around, Katrina. But I think it's interesting that you were able to get this piece into USA Today, correct?
Well, this particular one was Daily Signal, which is conservative.
Right, I understand that. But you're also part of the USA Today's Board of Contributors, which I think you are conservative. So, you know, there are a few folks out there with voices saying, now, wait a second. You know, what are you doing here? And, you know, I think about the journalism schools, Katrina. What are they teaching kids? I mean, we were told you couldn't use words like scheme or controversial. And every headline, Donald Trump's controversial, fill in the blank. Donald Trump's controversial, fill in. Everything's controversial, according to the media. And that's a qualifier on the front end that gives people a certain indication of what they should think before they read or see the article, right?
Absolutely. And I think the Wall Street Journal editor-in-chief, Gerard Baker, had mentioned that he was uncomfortable saying Donald Trump lies a few months ago. And, you know, he hit a lot of controversy for that. And he said, well, you know, I don't really know whether he intentionally is lying or not when he says, you know, untrue things. And I think the word lies is something we need to be very careful about, because it presumes the knowledge of the intention of the speaker, which I think is a sort of, you know, old school journalism principle that makes sense. That's not something a reporter can really know. And yet he was just raked over the coals for that.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, so there's an important distinction. Is Donald Trump careless with the facts, or is he in fact dishonest? I think there is a difference to be careless with the facts or being outright dishonest with an intent to deceive. Is there a difference there to you?
There is, but I wouldn't say that I know that reporters can necessarily get a handle on that. I'm not aware of, you know, Trump ever bragging like, oh, I'm trying to be misleading. So I think without something like that, you know, let's just assume in good faith he, you know, speaks a lot and sometimes gets some facts muddled.
So that'd be a bit different than, say, having an echo chamber when you're putting through your Iran deal and you've got people out there openly spinning it in favor of the administration and reporters consuming it and regurgitating it without changing it. I'll give you the last word.
Yeah. Well, without skepticism, I think, you know, one of the things I was looking up was just how many times Obama had said things that weren't true. And yet there was just none of this level of drama or concern or fearness about democracy dying. Yeah, I think it's a total double standard.
It totally is. Katrina Trinko, good conversation. Thank you for coming in here today. And you can find more at the Daily Signal. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's the Steve Gruber Show. Glad to have you.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
All right. Wednesday. Glad to have you along for the conversation. Man, trouble at the DNC, eh? Did you hear about this? Everybody asked to resign. Tom Perez, the new chairman of the Democratic National Committee, has launched a major overhaul of the party's organization, which has been stung by recent crises. Now the DNC requesting resignation letters from everybody. Everybody must go. It's cleaning house. So they're trying to get everybody out. And apparently it's in an effort to clean up the problems left behind. This came after President's selection as party chair in late February. An advisor to outgoing DNC interim chair Donna Brazil, Lee Doherty, asked her employees to submit letters of resignation dated April 15th. That according to multiple sources. And you thought it was the Republicans. You thought it was the Republicans that had issues. Well, clearly, there's big trouble at the DNC, which after what happened last year with Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the WikiLeaks issues, the fact that Debbie Wasserman Schultz had her thumb on the scale for Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders just gets you the idea that, well, we've got issues here. We'll keep an eye on that story as we move forward. Another big story right now, of course, is Donald Trump reducing the budget for the EPA and rolling back a whole bunch of Obama-era regulations on coal production and coal-fired power plants, the Clean Power Plan, now being rolled back with an executive order signed just yesterday. What does it mean? Well, on the left, it means the sky is falling. But for others, it means time to take a deep breath and focus on the truth. Tom Harris, Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition, joining us. Tom, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Steve.
Glad to have you back. So the Clean Power Plan, is the sky going to fall Chicken Little, or is it just going to rain a little bit?
It's not going to do either. The Clean Power Plan was like something right out of 1984. You know, the only gas that it controlled was carbon dioxide, which even school children know is not unclean. So getting rid of CO2 doesn't make something clean.
Well, hold on, Tom. You're making quite an assumption there. Do school children still know that?
Well, in biology, they teach them that carbon dioxide is part of plant photosynthesis and that it's invisible, it's not toxic. You know, it's interesting because in submarines, we have many, many times higher CO2 than we do in our atmosphere, and there's no bad effects to the sailors. And in fact, in greenhouses, they pump in four times as high a sea level or as high as CO2 level as they have in the atmosphere. And the only result is not warming. The result is that the plants grow better.
Well, that's key. Three things that are going on. I mean, you look at the rainforest of the Amazon, for example. They're booming. And the tree growth is at rates that are unprecedented because three things: heat, water and carbon dioxide make things grow at a rapid pace, don't they?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, Craig Itso, he's the head of CO2Science.org, a group that actually studies CO2Science and its effect on plants. He's out of Arizona. He was speaking in Washington just a couple of days ago, and he showed that there's been billions of dollars in increased crop yield across the world because of the fertilization of the atmosphere by carbon dioxide.
Well, here's the thing. You know, those on the other side, those being, you know, scientists like Chuck Schumer of New York, say that it's going to result in dirty air, dirty water, poisoning children. That's what's going to happen from Trump's executive order. I mean, the world's going to end, Tom, and damn it, if you don't believe it, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, but you know, it doesn't really match real world experience. I mean, the EPA's own data shows that the total emissions of six major air pollutants, I mean, these are real pollution, like sulfur dioxide and nitrous oxide and soot and things like that, that those pollutions dropped 62% since 1980, even though CO2 emissions have increased by 14% in that time period. So in other words, using climate regulations, trying to control pollution through controlling climate or CO2, it's an expensive mistake. I mean, the data is just not there. You know, in the past, when they reduced when they increased CO2, pollution dropped. So, you know, you don't use a climate plan to control pollution.
Well, and so here it is. My question to you is, you've been watching Scott Pruitt at the EPA. You've watched President Trump issue some of these executive orders. This is just the latest, of course, because the waters of the USA was already tossed over the side, I believe. Is he doing the right things?
Oh, yes, and especially for states like Michigan, because you get about 46% of your electricity from coal, and the consequences of the Clean Power Plan would have been an average annual electricity price increase of 15% every year from now until 2030. And, you know, it's even worse for states like Kentucky or West Virginia that get almost all their electricity from coal. I mean, they would have been creamed. And yet, even Gina McCarthy, the previous head of the EPA, she admitted that it would have no impact on climate, but that we were going to lead the world they were going to follow us and actually do the same thing to reduce climate change. But, you know, these other countries, like the Philippines and other countries, they've already said they're not going to follow us. And, in fact, you'd laugh at the quote from the president of the Philippines. He's not the most diplomatic
He's
fellow.
He's not the most eloquent guy.
But what he said, you expect us to limit our development because of an agreement. That's stupid. I will not honor that.
Yeah.
So I mean, when countries like that, and China does it, you know, more diplomatically, but when they make it very clear they're going to continue to grow, continue to use coal, no matter what we do, then even if it were true that we affected dangerous climate change, and it doesn't seem likely, but even if it were true, our actions would have no impact.
I want to back up a little bit about something you said, because Michigan does get about 45% of its electricity from coal-fired power plants, but we're in the process of shuttering 20 of those or more between 2020 and today. But north of us in Ontario, that Canadian province got rid of all coal-fired power plants. To date, their electric rates have gone up 350% and are expected to top out at 500% increases from where they started before they started shutting down coal-fired power plants. 500, not 15%, 500, two zeros there.
Oh, yeah.
And that'd be staggering. Can you imagine people that are living on a fixed income with a $100 electric bill and now it's $500, that changes things.
Oh, but Al Gore came up here, and he said that we were doing the best thing for the world, and the government wanted to lead the world on climate change. And that was the whole point of this. You know, back in 2002, we had a quarter of our electricity from coal, not as much as you guys have, and we got rid of it completely. And now we're leading the world in a wild goose chase.
So my question to Al Gore is, when he left from being up here, did he go back to the mansion in Big Sur, or did he go to the 25-room mansion estate in Tennessee? I'm just curious.
Yeah, and I assume he took the train.
Well, of course he did. The A train being the A-10, the Gulf 10 Learjet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. All right, so what do we need to do? I mean, here's the misconception. There's this misconception somehow, because I'm a conservative, I like dirty air and dirty water. Listen, I fish. I hunt. I partake in God's universe, and I'm a direct consumer of wildlife oftentimes. I care more about clean air and clean water than the average individual. But yet we get this hung around our necks time and again. How do we stop that from happening? I'll give you the last word.
Well, they should should actually read Trump's order. I mean, Trump's order says specifically, very clearly, that their focus is on clean air and clean water, and that they're going to take actions to make sure that it continues to improve. But the idea that we can stop climate change, that we have to control carbon dioxide, a benign plant food, that's going to end. And that's what the actual order says. He goes on about clean air and clean water.
Yeah.
So, indeed, conservatives want that, and we want to do it properly.
Oh, and one more thing, Tom, before I let you go. Just remember, one of the greatest things created by global warming are those very great lakes you referred to, because without global warming, they'd still be big chunks of ice. Tom, always a pleasure.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Executive Director, International Climate Science Coalition, right here on The Steve Gruber Show.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
All right, welcome back to it. Wednesday here on the program. All right. And I look down and I say, my God, they got Doherty on the lineup. Must be a good day. I must be living right, because there's Michael Doherty, my hero, should be yours, right there on the rundown. And there he is on the phone. Doherty, you all right?
I'm okay. I'm in California, but I'm leaving tonight on the red eye, so I'm okay. It's that 3-day rule.
Yeah, 3 days. Yeah, 3 days and gone. Yeah, I gotcha. So let me ask you about all these things going on in Washington as you keep up with everything that's happening. Chuck Schumer's out to save us and help us all, just so you know, right up front. Chuck Schumer's there to look out for you and me, Doherty. And one of the things that he thinks should happen is that Chairman Nunes should step down immediately because of impropriety or something like that. What do you make of that?
Well, I this guy vomits so much self-righteous crap, it's hard to keep up.
Vomitus Maximus, that'd be his official name in the arena.
Well, because I know he would probably be a rabbi if he wasn't a politician, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's really such an amazing person.
Just
and
ask
Nancy
him.
Pelosi, right, with him. And Schiff, I mean, the three of them are trying to fill the void up from Harry Reid is the biggest liar of the 21st century. And so these guys have no, they'll say anything. This is an entire strategy to derail Trump, to wear everybody down, and gaslight, which means if I say these people are liars over and over and over and over, then they are. This is like, this guy's head of the committee, was an independent investigator. The Democrats, when they have power of committees, don't talk to Republicans all day long. In my case, Rockefeller sent a letter to the House committee without ever telling John Thune. So this whole fake outrage about the lack of communication is a joke, but it's just meant to confuse the low-educated voter, and many, 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 many of them are Democrats.
No question. The only outrage is the fact that they were surprised by it. You see, they don't like being surprised, and therefore they're all up in arms about it. But just, you're in California, right? And so you're there in the land of Maxine Waters, who, by the way, is convinced the Russians are invading Korea. And that it's time for Donald Trump to resign before he gets impeached, because impeachment is inevitable, according to Maxine Waters.
I don't know. I actually think this is probably a great time to announce my new book for the conservative coffee table. Stupid Things Democrats Say. It's a thick book. there'll be 25 volumes. And the first volume will come out next month.
Yeah,
and she's the first issue's cover, because even Democrats got to say, "Shut up, Maxine."
Seriously. Yeah,
I don't know. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I don't know what you do with that. I mean, you've got Pelosi, who says outrageous things just by matter of course. But here's the thing about the Democrats: they are on the same talking page. I mean, they have when their talking points go out, whoever they're issued by, George Soros, whoever gets them their walking papers. I mean, they're right on it. Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, nobody varies. And they're right there. And like Chuck Schumer says, we're here to help the president get his repeal Obamacare thing through. As long as he doesn't repeal Obamacare, we're here to help. I mean, what?
Well,
look,
this is the extreme temper tantrum of a group of people that are going down. As long as the same people that put Trump in the White House don't take the bait. And the one thing about Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi they cannot leave their districts and go into red states and campaign to try to sway anybody. Right now in Tom Price's district, the Democrats are spending millions trying to get this 30-year-old kid to be the Democratic, the Democratic congressman in that district. But they said Nancy Pelosi might show up, and the Republicans were so excited. If Nancy Pelosi steps foot in Georgia, there may be Georgia Lives Matter movement.
Yeah.
We could have tents. And so, they also could be the gift that keeps on giving. We don't know because, the 2018 elections, we need people that are shrewd in their campaigning, as Trump was in these Senate seats, and it could be carnage again. Because I don't know if they're really fooling anybody, really, except the media. And the
I don't know. Here's what I wonder about looking for, because now it's Donald Trump and the Republicans are saying, listen, we're going to have a plan for health care back in play here soon. And they didn't actually get set back in a loss. They just withdrew. It's like halftime or something, I suppose. They withdrew from the conversation on Friday, which looked of course, the media piled on. Big loss. Not really a loss. There was no score. But they said they're going to come back around with a new plan for health care, and the tax reform is going to be on the horizon, and this infrastructure deal is on the horizon. Donald Trump still has the opportunity to get a lot of big things done, and rolling back the Clean Power Plan, yes, just yesterday, big things are happening that are part of his campaign promises. So he keeps clicking off different parts of his agenda, looking out for something even bigger. And if he does that healthcare thing, Doherty, I think that 2018 is going to be awfully poor for the Democrats.
Right. And also, now that clean power thing, it drives me nuts that it gets titled that way. That's the quintessential I Hate Republican title. And the Republicans should come back and go, no, this was we're repealing the complete destruction of an industry and putting middle class people out of work plan from Obama that utterly destroyed West Virginia and Pennsylvania and handed the White House to Donald Trump. That's what that was all about.
You know, let me ask you one more thing before we go, because we haven't talked about this in a week or two, but about the eavesdropping on Trump, it seems like there's a fair chance that something went on there. And where is Barack Obama?
Well, he's at some island in the French Antilles for a month, isn't he? Someplace, I don't know.
Something like that,
He's exactly where he always was. I think he's playing golf, but now it's just in a different location without the media. But just none of this guy. I mean, look, he didn't apologize. They spin everything. He is now going, put it out there, and now be researching more. I was actually with a guy from the State Department last night at this meeting here, and there's just a whole lot of stuff that'll be coming out. But it's all wordsmithing. All they're attacking is, he used the word wiretap, and there wasn't a wiretap.
Exactly right. I got to leave it there, Doherty, because they are parsing words in order to try to embarrass him. Enjoy California, my friend.